Okay. Welcome and Sabbath blessings to everyone on the radio, everyone in the conference room, and everyone on the phone, and wherever else you're at. I know there's microbroadcasters out there, and I don't mention your names. So. Even though it's legal, the FCC likes to hassle you guys, and so I understand. For some reason it didn't pop down. Okay, there it is. We're starting at the yellow section, I guess. I don't know if anybody gets to see it. Yep, there it goes, top of the page. So, all right. We're in Great Controversy, Chapter 5. Page 94, bottom of the page, last paragraph says, the doctrines which had been taught by Wycliffe continued for a time to spread. His followers, known as Wycliffes and Wallards, not only traversed England, but scattered to other lands, carrying the knowledge of the gospel. Now that their leaders were removed, the preachers labored with even greater zeal than before, and multitudes flocked to listen to their teachings. Some of the nobility and even the wife of the king were among the converts. In many places, there was a marked reform in the manners of the people, and the idolatrous symbols of Romanism were removed from the churches. Now think about this. A lot of people, especially you young guys and girls, think, you know, it's next to impossible to get someone to come to the same faith you have, or maybe it's fun, cool, or whatever, or it just doesn't work. But if you look at history and you see what's being described here, this does work. Hearts are changed. People become Christians. That's a fact. That's something that you can't deny. And when you look back and you see all these prophecies that have been going on for the last, since 1844, when the end times began, according to Daniel, at the end of the 2,300-year prophecy, which also they had a little great, you know, a little disappointment in that time, just like Revelation predicted they would mess up the event, but got the date right when he put the little book in his mouth, and it was, you know, sweet in the mouth and bitter in the belly. And one of the last prophecies that we're going to see here is it's going to make the Great Reformation look like, you know, a nice small but a fairly powerful tent revival. What we're about to witness and what we're about to take part in is the final, you know, movement, the harvest, getting the people ready for the harvest, like John the Baptist out there. We're going to come in the same spirit of Elijah. And so, yes, you're going to see Romanism removed from the churches. You're going to see idolatrous symbols and stuff like that. And you're going to see kings and queens. You're going to see presidents, and you're going to see senators and congressmen or whatever come to a saving knowledge as we understand it. And the pews are going to start emptying. Yes, that's called the prophetic loud cry. It's already started getting a little loud out there. Yeah, and some of us are going to be blessed with the opportunity to see thousands converted in a single day. When the latter rain falls, it's going to fall more abundant than it did on the apostles. And yeah, we're going to see some mighty miracles being performed too, but Christ, our righteousness, it's the Lord Jesus Christ doing it. And we're not going to be we're not going to be like the Simon Maguses of the world. We're going to sit there and say, hey, you know, not only do I want to be in it for the money, but I'll give you a couple of bucks for the Holy Spirit. So, going on, but soon the pitiless storm of persecution burst upon those who had dared to accept the Bible as their guide. Like in 1229 AD, when they put the Bible on the Index of Forbidden Books, anybody that had a Bible in their hand was asked to surrender it or be burned with it, because the Bibles were being burned. It goes on, the English monarchs, eager to strengthen their power by securing the support of Rome, did not hesitate to sacrifice the reformers. for the first time in the history of England, the stake was decreed against the disciples of the gospel. Martyrdom succeeded martyrdom. Now, do you think this is possible in the USA? Well, there's already 30,000 guillotines on U.S. soil, and that's one of the last prophecies about the children of God being beheaded because of the mark of the beast. It's right there in Revelation. People think, oh, that's back in the day, back in the day, back in the day. It says, well, look, put two and two together. When it's speaking about beheading, it's talking about being beheaded because of the mark. And if you look at what Obama's been doing recently, he was at a meeting, and he made sure that before he came there to speak at the meeting, he had the cross covered up with a sheet. He's the first president to refuse to go to the National Day of Prayer. It's just amazing. There was a video on YouTube where they showed, you know, and the only reason I didn't post it on the website because at the end of the video they put all this stuff about InfoWars, and that guy's a Jesuit. So I'm not going to advertise any of this stuff. But the video was well put together where they showed how Obama's doing everything he possibly can to destroy Christianity using law. Like that one article I put on the site the other day. Homosexuals and pedophiles are protected, but ministers and Christians are not. And that's one of the end time prophecies. And so, especially for the young people out there, if you want to take part in this amazing end time event and be used by your God and our God in a major way, hold on tight. Going on, it says, the advocates of truth, proscribed and tortured, could only pour their cries into the ear of the Lord of the Sabbath. Hunted as foes of the church and traitors to the realm, they continued to preach in secret places, finding shelter as best they could in the humble homes of the poor, and often hiding away in dens and caves. And right now, maybe a year ago, I put some articles on the site about this, and I did a newsletter on it. In China, right now, this has been going on for over 20 years in China. The Christians in China are meeting in caves. They're meeting in forests. They're meeting wherever they can possibly meet so they can share their faith. And a lot of them are young people. Think about this. They're not afraid to die. They're not afraid of losing their PlayStation 2. They're not afraid of losing their conveniences. They're not afraid of losing their jobs. They're afraid of losing their faith. They're meeting, and some of them are being, and this is why I did the newsletter, because there was a couple of young girls that were killed. I mean, these Chinese authorities come in and they just start beating people and burning them out and killing them because they're meeting as Christians. They're just having church. So this has already started. Just because it's not happening here in the United States, right out in the open. The United States is crafty, just like Rome, because Rome is running the United States. They do a lot of stuff behind closed doors. So the persecution of the Christians is still happening here in the U.S., but it's done with pen and paper, like prophecy said. Speak and cause. You know, legislation and enforce. She goes on. Notwithstanding the rage of persecution, a calm, devout, earnest, patient protest against the prevailing corruption of religious faith continued for centuries to be uttered. The Christians of that early time had only a partial knowledge of the truth, but they had learned to love and obey God's word, and they patiently suffered for its sake. So yeah, you don't have to be a theologian to share your faith either. You just got to be willing and if you don't have that zeal and you're wondering where to get it, get on your knees. That's where you're going to find it. Get it into the scriptures. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And like we did last night, we talked about prayer and how powerful prayer is. That's all we did last night. We went off topic. Next week, we'll be back on topic. But last night, it was all about prayer. It's very important. So if you're wondering where that zeal comes from, if you're wondering how to get it, you're only going to get it from Christ. I can't explain how to, it's just something you can only get from Christ. It's a life-changing. So get on your knees and beg him for it. Tell him you want to be part of this. Going on. Like the disciples in apostolic days, many sacrificed their worldly possessions for the cause of Christ. Those who were permitted to dwell in their homes gladly sheltered their banished brethren, and when they too were driven forth, they cheerfully accepted a lot of the outcasts. You know, it reminds me of that one thing that I read, I think I read it in Fox's Book of Martyrs or somewhere, And that's not an easy book to read, I got to tell you. There's a lot of eyewitness situations in there about people that died for their faith. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 is pretty plain, okay? The Lord is not going to tempt us with anything we can't handle. It's always going to be easy enough for us to handle. And on top of it, the devil has to give us an easy way out, too. That's what 10:13 is all about. And so these people that burned alive or that were cut in half or boiled in oil or buried alive, they had the faith to handle it. Most of them died singing. And many of them had no pain whatsoever. And I mean, look at John. Thrown in boiling oil. It was like bathwater. That's why they put him on the Isle of Patmos. They figured they couldn't kill the guy. She goes on, thousands, it is true, terrified by the fury of their persecutors, purchased their freedom at the sacrifice of their faith and went out of their prisons, clothed in penitence robes to publish their recantation. In other words, they denied Jesus Christ for their lives. What did Jesus say about it in our day? Those who seek to save their life shall lose it. Okay, we still have the time to work right now, but pretty soon it's going to be nighttime. No man can work. We have the opportunity now to get out there and do something about this and spread our faith. Because look, the stumbling laws aren't going to come because someone just comes up with some, goofball idea out there in Washington, D.C. I mean, they're all being prodded and brainwashed by Rome. Yeah, this is what Rome has been wanting for 2,000 years. This is why back on March 7th, 521 A.D., they did the first Sunday law. But it's going to be because of our work that the Sunday laws are going to come, because what we do, the Lord is going to bless. Those who honor God, He's going to honor. And so when we go out there and we do this work, we are going to become such a major threat to them that they're going to do everything they can to shut us up. They're going to make our Sabbath illegal. And that's when we're going to go in the caves and wherever. But right now, we can work. We can get a lot of people to be sitting in those caves with us and then become part of our eternal family. Going on, it says, but the number was not small. And among them, thinking about the people that recanted, they denied it. Oh, and by the way, when they would recant, you know what Rome used to do with some of these people when they would recant? He says, if you deny this Bible or this Jesus and accept Catholicism, we won't burn you at the stake. Instead, we'll just choke you to death. Because they didn't trust them. Figured they're going to go out and do it anyway. And the story that I was going to remind you about Fox's Book of Martyrs, where they had this family and some friends that they stripped naked and they put them out in the middle of a frozen lake on the top of it and made them sit out there. And a soldier sat at the edge on the shore with a roaring fire. And he says, anybody that wants to come to the fire can do so. But when you do, to come here and warm yourself, that is an open admission that Catholicism reigns and Jesus and this weird faith that you all got is bogus, right? And so the family's out there dying, and it's just getting colder and colder, and they're all singing songs, psalms from Scripture. And one of them couldn't handle it. One of the friends, they just couldn't handle it, and they had to go by the fire. And they went over there, and they warmed themselves at the fire. And guess what happened? The soldier took his clothes off and joined the rest on the lake in song and died with them. She goes on, the number was not small. And among them were men of noble birth, as well as the humble and lowly, who bore fearless testimony to the truth in dungeon cells, in Lollard Towers, and in the midst of torture and flame, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to know the fellowship of his sufferings. Because martyrdom is a blessing. A lot of people have a hard time getting their brains wrapped around that, but that is a blessing. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. One of the, it is considered a major blessing because you have the faith to handle it. Some people don't. Because the papists had failed to work their will with Wycliffe during his life, and their hatred could not be satisfied while his body rested quietly in the grave. By the decree of the Council of Constance, more than 40 years after his death, now this is what's so ridiculous about Rome, but they've done this at least 4 or 5 times, and I did a radio broadcast about some of the ridiculous things that the popes did in the past about, re-killing people. Check this out. By the decree of the Council of Constance, more than 40 years after his death, his bones were exhumed and publicly burned, and the ashes were thrown into the neighboring brook. This brook, says an old writer, hath conveyed his ashes into Avon, Avon into Severn, Severn into the narrow seas, they into the main ocean. And thus the ashes of Wycliffe are the emblem of his doctrine, which now is dispersed all the world over. So symbolically, you know, they thought they were doing it for whatever reason they were doing it for, but it was just like a symbolic gesture from our Father on high that, look, his work's done. It's already going to spread just like his ashes in the ocean. Their hatred is so intense, though. She says, little did his enemies realize the significance of their malicious act. It was through the writings of Wycliffe that John Huss of Bohemia was led to renounce many of the errors of Romanism and to enter upon the work of reform. Thus, in these two countries, so widely separated, the seed of truth was sown. From Bohemia, the work extended to other lands. The minds of men were directed to the long-forgotten Word of God. A divine hand was preparing the way of the Great Reformation. And it's happening again now. There are some of you out there now that are going to be used by the Lord in a mighty way. Stay on the path. This is one of the reasons today's sermon is called Off the Path. Because we've got a mighty work to do, and he's started the work already. Don't be like some people in the past. We all know about the two young men that were called to do a mighty work for the Lord, and they decided and they turned against it, and then a young girl got it. The Lord gave it to a young woman. We all know about that. All right, this is finishing this page. So I've already got a program on the server to pop, so hold on. Let's see if it went in the room.
Yep.
Now, this is about Huss and Jerome. You know, historic details of what went down for them. Okay, let me lock it on the server just in case anybody falls out. This page is what you're going to see when you come back in. Okay, all set. Okay, chapter 6, for those of you listening on the radio and the phone. Chapter 6 of the Great Controversy. It's titled Huss and Jerome. It's actually page 97 if you got the 18... I think this is the 1888 edition. I'm not sure. But it says the gospel had been planted in Bohemia as early as the 9th century. The Bible was translated and public worship was conducted in the language of the people. But as the power of the Pope increased, so the Word of God was obscured. Gregory the 7th, who had taken it upon himself to humble the pride of kings, was no less intent upon enslaving the people, and accordingly a bull was issued forbidding public worship to be conducted in the Bohemian tongue. The Pope declared that it was pleasing to the Omnipotent that his worship should be celebrated in an unknown language, and that many evils had risen not observing this rule. That's from Wiley's book, or book 3, chapter 1, or page 3, chapter 1. I don't know why they always put a B there, but I'm not sure what that means. So, thus, Rome decreed that the light of God's word should be extinguished and the people should be shut up in darkness. Now, okay, so if the two witnesses have done their work, I've got a page on the website for those of you that don't understand about the two witnesses, but they've been here and gone. It happened over quite a few hundred years ago. Okay, they're here and gone. Their work is obvious. There's all sorts of Bibles all over the planet. Just to give you a hint of who the two witnesses are, Jesus speaks of them as the Old and the New Testament. Okay, and so the Bible, since it has become so prevalent all around the world, Rome can't do that now. They can't literally, I mean, they are doing what they can with the NIV, the NASB, the Dewey Range, and all these other weird new Bibles where they're taking thousands of verses out of the Bible and rewriting it, and then putting out declaration on global media that the Bible can't be 100% trusted, so that the babes in Christ figure, well, since I'm not a theologian, I may as well put this book down because I don't know where the bad parts are. Yeah, but the Lord has protected his word from day one. The King James is the only Bible that matches up with the Dead Sea Scrolls, so that's the one we stick with. All right? And that's the one they hate. And this is one of the reasons you see all this weird chemicals and processed foods. And I'm not going to get in a bigger dissertation about chemtrails, but it's obvious. There's barium up there. There's all these other weird things that they're doing up there. Germany has already admitted to using chemtrails for weather modification, but some scientists have already come forward and say, look, it's causing problems with focusing for humans. And as well as other things, you know, like what Hitler did with fluoride in the water to make people docile, you know. I remember somebody, I think Fran or somebody, was telling me about some school, or maybe somebody here that visiting here, was telling me about how some school used to make kids put raw fluoride in their mouth and hold it there for 10 minutes. Yeah, Eric was telling me that. Yeah, and they put raw fluoride in their mouth. And why fluoride? Because it makes you docile, complacent, so that when Hitler was about to do what he's going to do, he's not going to have that big of a hard deal with it. I mean, think about it. There's only 13 families on the planet that are actually controlling the world, but there's like, you know, there's 6.5 billion people that can literally rise up against them. But if they're all dumbed down and they're not aware of what's going on, and, you know, but that too is prophesied. The defeating of the nations. It's right there in Revelation. Let me just look it up real quick. Just I think it's in 17, but I got a lousy memory for chapters. All right. I'll just look up sorceries. And there it is, Revelation 9 and 18, see? And, 18. It says, and the light of the candle shall shine no more. This is Revelation 18, 23. It says, and the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And, of course, the word sorcery is when your Strong's concordant comes up, Strong's number 5331, or pharmakia. And the word pharmakia is where we get our word pharmacy. And Strong's even says, in definition number, it says sorcery, witchcraft, and it also says the use or the administration of drugs. That's definition one. Definition two is poisoning. And then three is sorcery, magical arts, you know, like the blue beam stuff and all that, holograms that, yeah. I couldn't believe it, you know. Al Gore stood in front of everybody as a hologram. They got those videos on YouTube now, a bunch of them. They've been doing that a lot. They did it on CNN. They had a reporter come into the Wolf Blitzer's area as a hologram. But they make those holograms look shady and wiggly and bubbly like they did on the Star Wars movie. But no, these holograms that they're actually working with, the ones that they have, you look like you can touch them. They look real. So. And they did it, they showed it on YouTube. Just look it up after Sabbath when you get time. So continuing. Let me backtrack a little bit. Thus Rome decreed that the light of God's word should be extinguished and the people should be shut up in darkness. But heaven had provided other agencies for the preservation of the church. You know, like the Bible says, the elect cannot be deceived. And many of the Waldenese and Albigenese, driven by persecution from their homes in France and Italy, came to Bohemia. And well, in their day, that's how it went down. But in our day, it's more or less the same thing. But the elect cannot be deceived. And so they were hustled off into safe areas. Whereas here, even that stuff that's those weird chemicals. Plus, the children of God with the health message and all have a tendency not to buy processed foods anyway. With all those strange chemicals in them. Make stuff from scratch. So going on, it says, though they dared not teach openly, they labored zealously in secret. Like they're doing in China. Thus, the true faith was preserved from century to century. Before the days of Hus, there were men in Bohemia who rose up to condemn openly the corruption in the church and the profligacy of the people. Now, I wonder if I said that word right. Their labors excited widespread interest. Thanks. The profligacy means great abundance. Their labors excited widespread interest. The fears of the hierarchy were roused, and persecution was opened against the disciples of the gospel. And this is why you see what's happening today. The fear of the hierarchy is aroused again, especially if you as a Christian don't have a gun. That scares them to the point where they're shaking in their boots. Why? Because the minute you get a gun, they know that you have now taken your faith and placed it in your ability to protect yourself. Case in point, Waco, for example. That guy was a Sabbath keeper, but of course he was way off base in a lot of areas and, you know, changing his name and all that. The Lord's going to wink at our ignorance like he was going to wink at his, but the thing is, the guy had a bunch of guns, and so, you know, the government's only going to have a bigger gun than you anyway. When it's absolutely impossible for you to defend yourself, why try when it gets to that point? Seriously. That's when there is a God in Israel. That's when you get on your knees, and that's when he shines most. I mean, especially for those of us who have been Christians for over 20 or 30 years, or even 5 years, some of it, you know, or even a year. It doesn't matter, really, with our Lord. But some of us have been Christians for a little while and have seen all of a sudden, like, you know, stuff that should not have happened happen. You know, death threats disappear, or even the people that threaten your life are the ones that die instead. Or the people that want to financially destroy you are financially destroyed instead. You put your faith in the Father. You let Him take care of that kind of stuff. And that scares them. That scares the daylights out of them. That's why they're pushing all this fear out there in the world as much as they can, because they want to get you to be like Peter when he was walking towards Jesus on the water. For a moment, Peter was walking great on the water, and all of a sudden he looked around. There was two reasons he had a problem. First, he's looking around and checking out how all the waves are moving around and all this other stuff, and he got scared and trusted in that which the devil was showing in front of his eyeballs. And then, of course, pride hit him because he noticed that the apostles were checking him out. And then, sure, he sunk. And so that's what the Lord brought to my mind when I started having all this fear in my heart. Every now and then, I'd wake up in the middle of the night 5 or 6 times a night because my son Luke was dying. And I'd wake up in fear for a split second, because you're always weak when you first wake up. And then the Lord reminded me, he says, look, just keep your eyes on me. Ignore all those doctors that are bobbing in the water saying, Luke's going to die. And I says, okay, I'm going to put it in you. And the fear just disappeared instantly. And that's why they're pushing that fear out there. They're trying to get you less effective. If they can get you scared, then you're not going to be able to stay walking on that water. You're not going to be able to continue walking towards Christ. You're not going to be able to be used by Him in a mighty way, and that's what they're going for. Because they know they can't fight Him, just like Goliath. When he walked out, he didn't say, okay, where's your God? I want him now. No, he didn't say that. He says, send me out a man to fight. Everybody on the planet knew God fought for Israel. But Goliath came out and says, send me a man, thus I fight. And then we'll become, that's why they sent the 9-foot-2-inch guy out there. So, let's leave it here, because if I go into another, we're going to go over time. So, but praise the Lord for His truth. I got to tell you, praise the Lord for the days we live in. You know, like it says in the scriptures, angels and even some of the apostles and patriarchs would love to have been alive at this time to see the Lord's hand moving left and right. I mean, all these prophecies that we've seen fulfilled in just the last 20, 30 years alone. I mean, think about 70 AD. What did they have to watch for? One prophecy. That's all they had to watch for. And still, 1.1 million Jews died when the city was surrounded and burned to the ground, just like Jesus predicted 40 years prior. That's all they had to watch for was one prophecy. A lot of, you know, all the Christians got out, of course, they were fine. But all them Jews died. And then we all know what happened to those soldiers that, you know, they got their just desserts as well. They went to Pompeii for their little homosexual getaway, because that's what Pompeii was back then. And what happened? The mountain exploded and covered that city up, and they all died. You know, they got their spanking. So let me, oops, it was page 98, right? Okay, let me get back to the server here. I got to go to page 98. And I'm just going to put a yellow bar on it so that I don't forget. There.
Okay, we'll be back in a minute.